Here's the Well, everybody, I'm Jesse Waters, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Harold Ford Jr., Dana Perino, and Tyrus. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five. Day 6 of the Salem Trump trials. It all started with the judge hearing the prosecution's request for Trump to be held in contempt of court for allegedly violating his gag order 10 times, a.k.a. muzzling the leading presidential candidate in the thick of an election. D.A. Alvin Bragg's team must have gotten cold feet. Today they said they don't want to lock up Trump for speaking his mind. They just want to slap him with hefty fines. The judge hasn't made up his mind yet on what he's going to do. Then to the main show. Ex-National Enquirer publisher David Pecker was back on the stand. The prosecution hoping to convince the jury that Trump tried to hide damaging stories ahead of the 2016 election. Pecker testified that he's been catching and killing stories for a long time, which is perfectly legal last time we checked. And Pecker began doing it for Trump starting in 2015. He also testified under oath that Trump was popular with the ladies. Quote, Mr. Trump was well known as the most eligible bachelor and dated the most beautiful women. Later on, Trump carrying his trademark stack of articles, railing against the gag order and the ice chamber they're keeping him locked up in.
We have a gag order, which to me is totally unconstitutional. I'm not allowed to talk, but people are allowed to talk about me. I'd love to talk to you people. I'd love to say everything that's on my mind, but I'm restricted because I have a gag order. This trial is all Biden. You know, this is all Biden, just in case anybody has any question. And they're keeping me in a courtroom, that's freezing, by the way, in a courtroom all day long. Well, he's out campaigning. That's probably an advantage because he can't campaign. Nobody knows what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together.
The media is trying to spin this any way they can.
This is Donald Trump goading the judge to do this. And I think the reason is he much rather have all of us talk about his being jailed than to talk about the evidence at the trial.
Judge Marchon is calm. He's methodical. He makes decisions quickly. He's decisive.
He said this case is all Biden. There is zero, precisely zero evidence that President Biden had anything to do with orchestrating, running this case.
Is there any greater irony than complaining about a gag order and saying it restricts you from speaking while you're speaking to cameras and media who's in the hallway?
Okay, the gag order controversy, Dana. He's gonna take his time. The judge. He's gonna ponder it, and then he's gonna make up his mind.
None of this makes sense. But I thought the Wall Street Journal editorial board had a really good point. They said, "What are you protecting Michael Cohen from? He's very public. He's out there. It's not like juror number two who was like, you know what, guys? I don't want to have any of this attention on me. I'm a very private person. I'm like, Michael Cohen's not a private person, and he is willing to get out there and mix it up with everyone. So I'm not exactly sure who the judge even thinks this gag order is protecting. Now, if it's jurors, fine, but it hasn't been. But the star witness is Michael Cohen. So he gets to go on TV and talk about Donald Trump, and Donald Trump can't talk about him. And they're saying, oh, we don't necessarily want you to go to jail because we know that that would look terrible for us. We just want you to have to pay a lot more money, as if that was a good solution. You know the phrase, too good to check?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you want a story so badly, and you want it to be true, and you're afraid to have your producers fact check it because then it might turn out not to be the story that you want.
Not familiar with that, Dana.
I think that this is what's
Never heard of it. I think this is what's happened.
I was reading this op-ed in the New York Times today by a legal scholar from Boston, and he said, this is terrible. He said, I always had a hunch it was a terrible case, but after opening statements, he said, this is awful. I'm not a lawyer. We have lawyers here, so they'll talk about that. I just want to mention one last thing about the politics. I thought what President Trump did this morning, super smart. Before he went into the courtroom, he did address the cameras, but he didn't talk about the case. He talked about two things that were really important for him today in order to get on the record. One was the primary in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the state that Biden must win in order to get to 270 in the Electoral College. President Trump talked about that, and he talked about Dave McCormick in a very favorable way. That's the Republican senatorial candidate who will be the presumptive nominee tomorrow. after tonight's voting. So that was one thing. The other thing he did that was a stark contrast to President Biden is he made a very strong statement about anti-Semitism on college campuses. So you he's able, in the limited way that he can and the time that he has, to get everybody's attention and say, these are the two things that are on my mind this morning. Now, excuse me while I have to go sit in the meat locker for 6 hours.
They're freezing him to death.
Yes, they are, which is ridiculous. And anybody who's been on the Gutfeld show as a guest would
know.
It's cold
in there.
It's cold. It's freezing. Listen, I'm going to talk about the testimony for a little bit because, one, Mr. President, forget the gag order. Forget the gag. We talked about this. Keep this in the street. People need to know what's going on. You know, it's a foregone conclusion, according to your legal team and yourself. So just go to town. I normally would never say, this is the time for the 3 a.m. tweet. This is the time. This is the time to do all the things that people didn't want you to see. Talk. Because the way they're laying it out, again, I didn't pass the bar, but I did grow up in the hood a little bit. We can kind of see when someone's laying it out to play it out. Michael Cohen is being shown as a yes man. And the way they're trying to show it is Trump oversaw everything. He was hands-on. Pecker's, that's weird saying that. Pecker's testimony was saying how he was so on top of everything. He was so frugal. But there's another thing there, and maybe they're paying attention. Cohen reminds me of that guy who you let on the squad, and he has one lane. He has one job, and it's the dirt work. But he wants to be in front of the camera. So he was doing a lot of things to try to make him seem like he had a bigger role in the Trump machine than he really did, which would lead to him being overzealous, doing things without talking to the president, hiding because he's trying to show him he belongs. And Jesse, you have sent home so many guys who have tried to get next to the Jesse Waters machine. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
You sniff them out and you kick them out.
And that's what happened with Michael Cohen. So I hope that's the play there, though. Trying to say that Trump oversaw everything. And I think we know from other stuff, Michael Cohen was doing a lot of things behind the president's back.
It was funny, Harold, how he said, well, you know, Biden's out on the campaign trail and I'm stuck here. He goes, that might be a good thing because the man can't campaign.
Yeah. Sniff them out, and then you kick them out. I love that. I hope you had a good weekend. It's going to be back around the table. I'd say a couple of things. I agree with Dana and you. I thought the president and what Tyrus was saying about the start of the day, I thought the president, that he needs to stay on the campaign before he goes in the courtroom to draw that contrast, the juxtaposition that we talked about last week when I talked about his ability to be a good political athlete. Two, he's innocent until proven guilty. And Mr. Pecker's comments, I'll get to that in 1 second, I think are, I'm beginning to understand better what Mr. Bragg and his office is trying to do here. We learn, and the judge, I imagine, will comment on this in a few minutes here, in a minute or two, that the second charge that was not outlined in the body of the indictment became clear today from the prosecutor who was doing a direct examination against Mr. Pecker. I think there's going to be a belief from the legal standpoint, and I agree legally, the things that they're talking about that Mr. Trump did to whether it's hush money or these relationships, none of that is illegal. What they're getting at and what I will be interested in seeing if they can make the case, they're not saying that that was illegal. What they're saying is there was a criminal conspiracy that influenced the election through perhaps in-kind donations and other things. When Mr. Pecker suggested, and I'm not, no one's in the courtroom, but the reporting that we're getting, that they were affirmatively planting stories against some of the other opponents that Mr. Trump faced in 2016, Mr. Rubio and Mr. Cruz and others. The question will be legally, does that constitute a criminal?
Wait, so you're saying Democrat campaigns don't coordinate with the media to plant stories?
Well, no, if you listen, I am saying that. If you listen to Jesse, listen to me 1 second. Mr. Pecker is openly saying, he's laying out a narrative, saying that they were together, they talked about these things, that Mr. Trump was, none of that is illegal, that he was popular with women and that these stories, they were into paying for journalism, all that kind of stuff. That's fine. But the question becomes, if you are out peddling stories that you know are not true about other candidates, can that be perceived as an in-kind donation?
Who said that?
That's what they said today, Judge. And that's what
no.
Well, Judge,
no.
This is just a fact. You can disagree with the analysis, but
who
that's
who said that today?
The prosecutor. That they said that the prosecutor. So that's what I'm saying. This is the part of the indictment that was not talked about. And this is the question. There are going to be good days and bad days in courts. I'm not saying that this can be proven, but now I understand the case. Because what you said, Jesse, and many have said over the last several days, we've all said on this set, that the federal prosecutors decided not to pursue some of this hush money stuff. I got that. That seems right. The question is, does this other stuff, does this constitute a crime? I'm not saying it does, Judge, but this is the issue that they're pushing in this case, and we'll see what happens. I hope they lift the gag order on him. I think it's unfair to have a gag order on him.
Harold, you're a lawyer. You know as well as anyone else that you can't possibly pick a jury or make an opening statement if you don't know what the crime is. And if you're saying at this table today, we found out what that crime is that was not included in the bill of particulars.
We reported it on Fox.
Then we got a real problem.
We reported
it on Fox. Then legally, you have to agree with me, we have a problem. Look, I want to get to the bottom line of this case. The bottom line in this Trump case is whether or not Donald Trump had the intent that the money that was paid was being used to affect the election. And I believe that the proof so far has proved just the opposite. Number one, an NDA is not illegal. Businessmen do it all the time. Catch and kill in terms of stories is not illegal. And in fact, David Pecker testified today that it was something that he and Donald had done frequently. What does that tell you and why is that important? What it tells you is that they have engaged in this in the past, not because Donald Trump was running for president, but because Donald Trump had a family, he had a business, he had children. You put the Trump name on a building and then it would go all the way up in terms of the evaluation of the building. So this is not money that was a campaign contribution. It was his own money for starters, but it's money that is used to protect the Trump name. And unless you can prove to the opposite beyond a reasonable doubt to 12 people, stop talking. All right. And the gag order is unconstitutional. You cannot gag one party, especially a defendant who is running for president. Yeah. On a sham case where the misdemeanors are expired and the local DA is putting on the jacket of the federal prosecutor saying, I'm going to save us from the statute of limitations by making believe I'm a federal prosecutor. You cannot gag that person and allow Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, and the whole lot of them to say Donald Trump's no good. He's a liar. I mean, it just isn't fair. And it shows how inappropriate Judge Merchan is as it relates to Donald Trump's and his rights. If this court wants people to believe that there is fairness in this trial, then what the court has to do, you either gag everybody or you don't gag anyone. And last point I want to make is the feds for decades have not allowed anyone to identify anyone running for office in the 6 months before a campaign to be identified as a target, as a defendant, or bring charges. That is a period of time where the feds zip it up. They're not only not zipping it up, they're trying this man on an unfair expired misdemeanor that is totally legitimate based upon everything we've heard.
Zip it and flip it.
I just say I agree with you on the gag order, but there's a second. I know you don't agree with me, but you should just look back at what we've been reporting today on Fox about what I was saying. I'm not trying to be critical.
Okay. I will.
It's good to have you back around the table.
I'm glad to be back.
All right.
What
coming
about
up.
Me?
I love you.
You were gone?
I love you.
I was gone. I'm back.
You're never gone. Your presence never missed.
Have a lawsuit.
Coming up, Joe Biden thinks there's very fine people on both sides when it comes to pro-Hamas freaks intimidating Jews on campus.
My dad believes.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Who peacefully protest for an issue, they're not throwing bottles and chairs.
So it seems like there's no end in sight for the pro-Hamas insanity raging across college campuses. The NYPD decked out in riot gear, clashing with anti-Israel agitators armed with flares at the so-called Liberated Zone encampment at NYU. The protesters ignoring warnings to vacate. One officer who was wearing a helmet got hit in the head with a chair. The helmet was dented. Over 130 arrested, including staff and faculty members. President Biden has yet to fully use his bully pulpit to stand with Jewish students who've been terrorized. Not just statements, a mid-level staffer, or off-the-cuff remark in a forest.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
But Donald Trump took the precious little time he had outside the courtroom that we mentioned in the A block. He said this about anti-Semitism.
What's going on at the college level and the colleges, Columbia, NYU, and others, is a disgrace. And it's really on Biden. He has the wrong signal. He's got the wrong tone. He's got the wrong words. He doesn't know who he's backing. And it's a mess. He is the worst president in the history of our country. But it all starts with Joe Biden. The signals he puts out are so bad. And I can tell you, he's no friend of Israel. That's for sure.
What do you think about the contrast in the statements from the president and the former state president?
You made a great point in A, that he needs to stay on the news cycle and not complain about the court cases. And that was a great point he made. Remember the fine people drama? Mm-hmm. That was like a year or two long. And it was a hoax. Said there was fine people on both sides after he said that there was horrible people on both sides, too. Joe Biden is looking at Israel, who's just defending itself. Hamas came in parachutes and slit women's throats and then raped them. If you are now in the press and you're saying these protests are just a bunch of salsa dancing and sushi eating, or a bunch of pizza eating and dancing, a Jewish kid got his eyeball gouged by a Palestinian flagpole. They are chanting death to America. They are chanting, I am Hamas. It's not a peaceful protest here. So Joe Biden has to just come out and say, I condemn what I'm seeing on these campuses. It's violent. It's disgusting. It's preventing other people from going to class. And it's anti-Semitic. And it's actually pro-terrorism. He doesn't need to bring in the Islamophobia, because you don't see Jewish people out there doing what these pro-Hamas people are doing. Have you seen any Jewish person stab anybody in the eye with a flagpole? Have you seen a Jewish person light anything on fire? Have you seen a Jewish person chant death to America? You haven't seen it. So it's not a time for equivocation. Biden really lost that.
I wondered also, Tyrus, about the message that it's okay to just tell all the students, you'll have to do Zoom school. Sorry, we're going to have to accommodate all these protesters, instead of saying, maybe like if I were at the White House, say, why don't you call the president of Columbia and say, we'll help those students get to class tomorrow. What do you need from me?
Well, we saw that in the civil rights movement when mm-hmm. black students were escorted in the classrooms when there yep. was. And that was the reason for that. The problem is that we have a president who wants to be friends with everybody. And I always get told, it was always a friend of mine, Aaron, be like, oh, man, you got to meet this guy, man. Everybody likes him. I don't like him now. If you're friends with everybody, you're friends with nobody. OK, everyone's got a problem with somebody. So when you hear the president say, oh, man, yeah, that's bad, but hey, that's bad, he's trying to split the diff. This ain't a split the diff situation. And what I don't understand is that Hamas is a terrorist organization, correct? And they are responsible on video of murder, mayhem, rape, butchering. We've seen all that, correct? So if I yell, I am Hamas, aren't I a part of that? And shouldn't America arrest as many Hamas as possible? That might even, again, just throwing this out in the air, Jeff. Because wouldn't that help us with negotiations with getting our hostages home if we have some of Hamas's own right here in America? I mean, they are Hamas, which means they stand by what Hamas. These are pamphlet protesters, by the way. That's how deep their protest is whatever the pamphlet. But if you're willing to say, I am Hamas, it means you're just not only assuming, I guess, the credit they want for being in Hamas, to support Hamas, shouldn't they be treated as Hamas? Because if we're supposed to be checking our borders and our streets to keep mm-hmm. terrorists off, and we're worried about domestic terrorists, we have a terrorist group marching in New York right now in broad daylight telling us, hey, I'm Hamas.
Right.
What you want to do about it? Under that guise, shouldn't that be, hey, great. We don't have to look for them in Gaza. They're right here.
They're right here. And Judge, they've stopped just demanding a ceasefire. Now they're saying that they want Hamas to win. And yeah. with the arrests at this point don't really mean anything if you're not prosecuted.
No, it means nothing. Look, the problem here is that the leadership has to come from the top. And if you've got Joe Biden, who was basically doing a Charlottesville of his own, insultingly on the first day of Passover, where he says, I condemn people who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. How dare you? You're condemning ignorance. But that's not even the point. We've got lawlessness on college campuses. And it's all over the country. This is very coordinated. We've defunded police, and now we're sending them out to these campuses in riot gear. They don't have the ability to take care of what's going on in the city to begin with. And then we have these college presidents who are very reluctant to call the police in. And by the way, Columbia's president, she needs to go. She needs to resign. So what do we do about this? The president has to be a leader. He has to say, as far as I'm concerned, I condemn those people who are threatening and harassing Jews. When Jews are not safe in this country, on campus, this is a pre-1939, pre-World War II moment. The Department of Education should be involved, as well as the Civil Rights Department from the Department of Justice. And where are all the DEI programs? We've been funding DEI for the last year and a half. Why aren't they saying these Jewish kids need to be protected? And now that we don't have classes in school, they're learning on Zoom, which is not what you pay $70,000 a year for. You know, they're basically saying, you know what, Hamas, you won. And I agree with Tyrus. Hamas is a terrorist organization. Are any of these people, are they here on visas? Are they here illegally? Are they here from other countries? Get them out of this country.
Who's buying the tents?
They've got to do, the Department of Justice has to do that.
All right.
Got to stop the Jew hatred. We got to stop the hatred of America.
Harold, I know that you could write a great speech for President Biden, but would he give it?
I hope those there are trying to do this, and I hope they do a better job. Presidents and professors at schools, you have one responsibility like the president of the United States has. He's our commander in chief of our armed services. You got to make it safe on campuses for kids to learn. And whatever steps you have to take, even if you have to take steps beyond and above and perhaps put your own words at risk against your policies, I think you err on the side of putting kids in safe spaces. This notion of free speech, the judge and we all know around the table, there's a limit to it. You can't incite. You can't endanger. And for anyone to think you have an absolute right, anyone who believes you have an absolute right to free speech is simply wrong. You can't threaten people. What we're seeing on our campuses with tenured professors, we talked about it. Robert Wolf was on one of the shows earlier this week. He was exactly right. We've talked about the value proposition of college, Dana, on this show many times. This is only going to cause the conversation to accelerate more. Before you get there, you have to understand the line. Kids can't be endangered. If a kid wants to protest powerfully, the way you protest powerfully is peacefully. We mentioned Dr. King and John Lewis, Tyrus. Dr. King denounced Stokely Carmichael, a comrade in wanting freedom and more opportunity for African-Americans and women and others who were. But he said, you can't do it that way. Right. Dr. King came to my hometown of Memphis and was assassinated. People forget he was there a week before and he came back a week later because the week before he came, Jesse, there was violence in the streets. And he said, I can't be associated with this. We have to come back and do it peacefully. If you can't teach kids to teach and impart that we do protesting peacefully, any Democrat or Republican, I heard a Democrat say this the other day, applauding people out protesting. We applaud peaceful protesting. We applaud not threatening other people because they don't look like us, because they practice a different religion. And to your point, Tyrus, anyone that says they are Hamas, Mayor Adams, the New York mayor had it right earlier. There's something going on in this city. There's a coordination. They should all be arrested.
Yep.
And if we're wrong, err on the side of being wrong on that issue. As Bill Clinton said, be right. Be strong and right, then weak and wrong.
It only takes one.
It's the only thing that's what you have to do for kids.
And if you're arrested and you have a student visa, bye-bye.
I agree.
Coming up next, could Kamala's laugh doom the Democrats in November? I woke up on the wrong side of the truck bed this morning with a bone drop. I love Jack guys
burning. Yeah, she got some nerve when she kicked me to the curb. Guess you could say I got what I deserve.
Kamala Harris is our nation's laughingstock, and even the Democrats agree. A new report claims that the DNC ran a focus group to understand why voters don't like the vice president, and the feedback was just brutal. Several were rubbed the wrong way by the way she laughs. And you know what? I think they have a point.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
I really love Venn diagrams. You know, the circles, right? Three usually. You know, it comes in the morning.
Democrats in the focus group also questioned if Joe Biden actually likes Harris. Well, watch out, Kamala. It looks like AOC is moving in on your turf. President Biden praising the socialist firebrand during an Earth Day event.
Representative Ocasio-Cortez in New York, you know, I learned a long time ago, listen to that lady.
What did he say?
No one knows what he said. And it was
Learned a long time ago. Actually, I don't actually want to do that anymore, to explain to America what he's saying, because he should be able to do that, or the press office should.
I agree.
He said is, I've listened to the lady and she makes a lot of sense. Can I go?
Sure.
Okay, I'm gonna keep going. It's actually driving me crazy that the White House expects us to be the interpreters for what he's saying. And then they say to us, he's been very clear. Like, absolutely no, he hasn't. And the other thing is, he goes on the Earth Day event in Virginia, and he takes the congresswoman from New York. Instead of surrounding himself by fishermen and hunters in Virginia saying, look at all the great things I've done for the environment. Does he need the youth vote that badly that he has to have her with him with her brand new hiking boots that I don't think had ever seen dirt before until the day before? The laugh for Kamala Harris isn't necessarily the problem. It's that she laughs at the wrong time. None of us can change our own voice or the way that we laugh. And I do think she has a good sense of humor, but people say that the laugh drives them crazy. And also she laughs when she's kind of nervous, like, why haven't you been to the southern border? And then she laughs about that, and so it seems very awkward. Then you have the media that's just like, the easiest job in the world is being a Democratic communications staffer, right? Because you can get the New York Times to rewrite Kamala Harris's rebranding, and this time it's working 18 times when it's obviously not working, and they just do it again. It's like handing out ice cream in the desert.
All right, Tyrus, is a laugh nothing more than a cover for her incompetence?
Listen,
like,
it's not
she doesn't
laugh.
Know?
I agree with Danny. It's not the laugh. Okay, we all have a laugh. I have a one-syllable laugh. I go, ha, real loud when I find something funny, rarely. But it's what happens before the laugh is the problem, to Dana's point. She's not dropping gold and just, you know, solved one of our problems and goes, ha-ha, because if she laughed after she solved problems or gave a somewhat recognizable answer, Biden has an excuse. He's 170 years old, and he doesn't know who he's talking about as far as AOC. He described her as a smart lady, which he probably thought she was a lot older. The tough thing for Kamala is not getting Joe to like her. It's that every day she has to make friends with Joe.
Yeah.
Every day. It's like the movie, the Adam Sandler movie. It's just every day repeats. It's a new day with him. You got to show him the paper and everything else. So that's
all
the
right.
issue.
Jesse, what do you think of the idea of swapping her out, Kamala out?
Wife swap? I
Not
love it.
Wife swap, Jesse.
AOC for Kamala. I'm here for it, Judge.
Yeah.
I think it would be the best thing, and this race needs a little wife swap. We'd have to talk to the husbands first, but I'm sure they'd be fine with it. The story here, Judge, is that the DNC ran a focus group on Kamala and then leaked it to CNN. Think about it. Why'd they have to leak this? This is an internal, expensive focus group to help improve and understand the ticket.
Yeah.
And then they just dropped the dirt.
Does that tell
to
you
CNN.
They don't want her?
That tells me CNN and the DNC both don't like Kamala.
Okay.
It also tells me, and because I'm reading a book about emotional intelligence, I already knew all this anyway, but, you know, you got to brush up. You're not supposed to laugh at your own jokes. You're just not. So if you ever catch me doing it, I'm not very emotionally intelligent.
Okay. All right, Harold, you want to wrap this up?
Quickly, I said strong and wrong. I meant strong and wrong right and weak in the last thing. But this is what she should be doing also. To change the way people think about you,
You got to change substance. I like her. She's smart. But I don't think she's there utilizing and putting her in areas where she can be at her best. She's a good prosecutor. We may differ on that, but she was a good prosecutor who was strong on crime. We have a crime problem in the country. Get out across the country. You've done a great job advocating on behalf of women's health rights. You've done a great job being an advocate for the administration on abortion. Get out and be an advocate for what are the best practices fighting crime? What are the best practices raising police morale around the country? What are the best practices to try to roll back these cashless bailouts? That's what you need to do. If I were in that vice president's office advising, that's what I would have her doing. That would help get beyond all of these things.
So you're saying wife swap is on the table? What I just heard.
Yeah. Strong and wrong, right?
Okay, good.
You don't want to be right.
So why would she bash out? Why would she wipe out the cashless bail, seeing as she was putting up money for the Minnesota bail fund? I mean, maybe the woman has just changed. And why does she need you to tell her this? How come she can't figure this out on her own?
All you do is give advice to President Trump on the show.
I do. Well, I don't know that he's listening.
We know Kamala's watching. What's up, Kamala? Sorry about the wife swap thing.
Okay, ahead. The woke left is barking up the wrong tree with this one. They now claim that having a dog is racist.
Isolated, depressed, and in
here, Harold. Welcome back. Have liberals lost their doggone minds? Woke activists now claim that having a dog in a city somehow means that you have white privilege and that you're gentrifying your neighborhood. One person tweeting, quote, dogs in large cities are essentially settler colonial, a way for their owners to move into and occupy more of the urban space than they are allotted while making it everyone else's problem. I'm going to answer my own question. This is absurd. If it is true, I'm a three times racist because I have three dogs and I love them. And I do nothing but walk them whenever I can. Tyrus.
I'm riding with you. I'm riding with you. We're just white lightning on this one. This is the problem with the woke. This is why they call them the woke. They missed the bus. They overslept. It's past tense. They will connect anything with just nonsense. Like every time my children make up stories now, it was used to be just a punishment. Now I got to make sure they're not turning woke on me, you know, because they just say things and connect. The connective tissue with feelings is everywhere. And as we know, feelings are little lies we tell ourselves to argue what we really see in the mirror. So that's what this is about. They had nothing else going on. Nothing else going on. It's like, you know, Judge, you don't know. Like you turn sideways in the mirror so you look skinny, and then you walk by and reality's waiting on you. It's the same thing with the woke. Yeah.
The judge
didn't understand.
I got it.
This is why you guys are awake and not woke.
DP is not a racist. Percy, talk about Percy.
I have lots of dogs. I love dogs. I also think that I'm all for this fight. If the academic left wants to go to war with dog owners, let's have at it. Let's go right now. But I also think this is just a totally online thing. This is only people complaining online. You don't actually see this outside in the wild where people are getting fresh air and enjoying their dogs.
Prime time.
Well, if having a dog is racist, then call me the Grand Wizard, Harold, because I love Rookie so much. Rookie actually might be racist, though.
Oh, don't.
Does he bark?
He barks sometimes.
Don't, Jesse.
I'm just kidding. He loves everybody. He loves everybody.
Judge, you have three. Give us a sense here.
No, I have four.
Four, forgive me. You're four-time racist.
Yes, so am I a colonialist? What am I?
You're something.
I don't know. Okay, there's the fourth. That's doodle. Let me tell you, people are so angry, they just don't know what to fight about, so they want to fight about this. And by the way, my poodles are woke. If you don't call that lefty, that's my poodle. I think they're a little on left. Progressive.
I mean, that dog looks transgender.
Yeah, it could be.
I love my dogs. I wish their pictures were up here, too. Ahead on the five, the ultimate Florida man. A barefoot fighter wrangles an 8-foot alligator with his bare hands. I wonder what their group would call this guy. The fastest is up next.
Americans turn to RV.
Yep, Judge, it was me. Welcome back. Time for the fastest. First up, get ready for the ultimate Florida man video. A barefoot man wrangling an 8-foot alligator who was also barefoot that was disturbing the peace in Jacksonville with his bare hands.
Oh, my God.
to be fair, Dana, we know you have had some problems with language and alligators. Yes, you could. 8 feet from the tail, it was probably a 3 foot gator.
No problem.
And he had no problem taping.
I would have no fear.
No, when he picked him up, he knew. Okay, real quick, Harold, you'll probably know this. He wrestled around with the alligator to tie it out because reptiles get their muscles aren't like ours where they get excited, that an acid builds up, and eventually they get exhausted and don't move as much. He waited for that moment, taped the mouth with electric tape, then he could pick it up, and it's basically harmless. So, you know, and he was actually at a hockey game with his kids, Judge.
How
so,
do you know this about the
because
alligator?
Because I'm an educated man.
Have you had an alligator?
Yeah.
Legally in the state of Louisiana? No.
How about illegally in the state of Louisiana?
Listen, okay. If I happened to cross one that was hatching out of egg and need a little help, that so be it. But my job as a Christian.
You know what's so sad about this? When I see him do that, I mean, I'm so proud of him. I mean, God, the guy's incredible. But I think of that old lady who was walking along the pond with her dog and the alligator came out. If only she knew how to do that. You
or
know?
At least not walk next to an alligator with a pond
with a dog. Why? Was he not as dangerous in the street?
He was in the middle of the street, terrified, probably. He's trying to find a lake. He was driven off by a bigger gator. Harold, you know what it is. You bully Jesse all the time. You're a bigger gator.
Let me tell you something. That's a guy that I want to walk through a rally where people are yelling things at me that I don't like and threatening me. That's a guy.
That's the kind of guy you want on January 6th. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you, buddy. Yep.
January 8th, Jesse. January 8th. We've discussed it. The 8th.
Is that the real date?
No, that
I think
was
we should
to
go to Dana.
Me. Yeah,
well, I went.
Yeah, this fastest has slowed down because Jesse said some weird shit.
Weird stuff.
All right. So, is anyone else here going to wrestle alligator for money?
No, but you.
No, will you
I will
will
do it. One more thing is up next. Yes, I'll wrestle alligator.
Okay, everyone.
It's time now for one more thing, Judge.
Okay, I just want to recognize Doodle's birthday. You may recall, Doodle is a little one there. About 8 months ago, I got Doodle. She was a rescue from the New Jersey Misfits Canine Rescue, a foster-based nonprofit organization in Frenchtown, New Jersey. Take a look at how big Doodle's getting. Okay, Doodle is so big, she's only a year. And she's still got another year to grow. She loves working out with me, and she thinks she's a lap dog. She knocked me out once. She knocked me down the stairs, but we're still friends.
Okay.
Okay?
Maybe take out a restraining order.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Doodle.
Happy birthday, colonist.
I have one about a dog as well. It's a dog named Dana, and Dana is a canine companion's dog, and her name, let's see, so Dana was named after me. Remember this, Tyrus?
Yes.
Well, Dana was chosen to be one of the breeding dogs for the organization, and she had 6 puppies, and there you have them right there, and they will be going to the vet to get their first shots. They weigh about 1 pound right now.
Wow.
And super cute, and they will grow up to be companion dogs, and we're happy and proud of them. Also,
beautiful.
I'm in tonight for Gutfeld. I'm taking over. Perino double exclamation point.
I love that. You want to do 3 dog stories in a row? Let's do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
How about this dog? It's a guard dog, and it breathes fire.
Oh.
It's got a laser beam, too, as a sight, and this thing will wreck any home invasion at any time. Any place.
It'll wreck the home, too.
But you know what, Judge? You can't be too careful. You got to keep these squatters out. Jesse Waters primetime tonight. The Get It Together series continues with the reformed Amish stripper who has gotten it together.
You're not going to believe how
she turned it around.
Good for her.
Can't wait to see.
Harold Ford, Jr.
A Utah special education teacher celebrated a very special anniversary today. 50 years, K-Beck has been teaching some of our most gifted and wonderful kids who have just great needs there in Utah. She found her calling, obviously 5 decades ago, and she says the secret to what she does is she wants to make every kid feel like they're just the same. So she doesn't treat any of her kids any differently than any other kids in school are treated. The students surprised her with a parade to mark the 50-year anniversary, emblazoning the slogan with the great words of that great coach Jim Valvano, who said, never
ever give up. Congratulations, young lady. Such, thank you for
that's
your work.
So nice. You, Harold, heart, you're so Harold, sensitive.
You're going to heaven for
you're
sure.
You're a wonderful
Harold.
Man.
I'm God, is there him. Anything yeah. wrong with you, Harold?
Lots.
One thing?
He cares too much.
You do. You care too much.
You can never care too much.
Because all these stories is about having the dog in you. You got to have that dog in your fight. And this is why I love hockey playoff time, because it's time to get it on. Who's got the biggest? And this is about who's the big dog in the yard, Dana.
Yep.
So you will appreciate this. Nothing better than it's taking us all the way back to the gladiator days. Beat it up. Everyone screams at you. Everyone's going for face shots.
Anyone
scared? Oh, yes. And this is why they play the game.
Wow.
Right? That's amazing. And if you want to keep the amazing party going, what? You need to roll down a comedy, my Tyrus Live comedy tour in cities all over the country. And
wow.
I'm about literally 10 days away. I'm going to be completely sold out my entire tour.
Where is Naperville?
It is everywhere.
Where's Decatur?
Illinois.
You know what? The 1%. Yeah. You were breathing because of your
Illinois.
1%, my brother.
You've gotten it down. Thanks, yes. Tyrus.
Library.
Have a good night, everybody.
Library.
I'm going to see.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.